a lot of doubles, and you can understand like the very top players, and especially the men, who have to play five sets. Maybe it's too much, but when singles players play doubles, they get a lot out of it, and they can bring stuff to their singles game. As Skupski aces down the tee and closes the gap again, it's 5-4. Siegerman and Roger Vasselin will serve for this first set shortly, but there's a lot to be said for singles players who do play doubles.
Oh, and we see that very evident with Coco Gauff, for example, who is just always has a very busy schedule, because generally she makes some decent runs in singles, as she has here at Roland Garros, but she's also still alive in the doubles. Same with Andreeva, until she withdrew very late last night, which was a wise decision given she had to back up and she had another doubles to come. So that was a wise decision. I think the return is a really important part. Learn to you've got, basically it clarifies the thought process. I've got to hit it one way, or I've got to hit it the other way. You learn to try and find your positions. But also the reflexes and the hands at the net, being able to use your volleys, the razor-sharp reflexes are needed at times, so that can help, can build confidence. Going back a few years ago, I remember talking to both the Australians, Sam Stosur, but also Ash Barty, who both enjoyed Grand Slam singles success, clearly. But it was before that they had some success in the doubles. And what they said about that was, when they were younger, was that by playing the doubles and going all the way through to the titles or playing the big finals, they were around for the full fortnight.
Yeah.
And it gave you access. So I remember Ash, for example, and Craig Tizer, who was her coach, was talking about, you hear playing doubles as an 18-year-old, and you've seen the way Rafael Nadal prepares. You've seen the way that the Novak prepares, Serena prepares, because there's not many players around.
No, exactly.
So you're sort of getting the chance to say hello to them. Like, it gives you that opportunity.
But you also just experience what it's like to be there on the weekend, so that when you do come there in singles, you're not freaked out. Makes a big difference. First point of this game goes to Siegerman and Roger Vasselin. Good smash from Roger Vasselin, serving to finish off this first set. Siegerman just takes a couple of steps to the side. They're playing I formation on this first serve. Standing slightly at an angle this time, Siegerman, to return. Skupski, good return. Roger Vasselin has to move quickly. Volley from Siegerman, and then she moves quickly across. Good hands from Kravchuk to get back in the point. Now Skupski can go inside out to Roger Vasselin, who whips a little lob over the head of Kravchuk. Forehand down the line from Siegerman. They're going down the line to each other, these two. Who's going to move first at the net? The lob goes over Kravchuk. Backhand down the line from Skupski is so low over the net that it scoots under the racket of Siegerman.
Delightful use of the angles, the different trajectory from all players on the court on that occasion. The good cross from Siegerman early, the great reflexes from Kravchuk, the beautiful lobs from Roger Vasselin that changed the angles on the court and changed the dynamic. Yeah. And then that fantastic double-handed backhand from Skupski, who was in the air, leaping high, well behind the baseline, to be able to make that shot. Absolutely superb. Beautiful tennis.
Yeah, it was off balance. Tough shot to make, but he did it. It's 15-all on the Roger Vasselin serve. Again, lob return from Kravchuk. It's pretty good. Smash, bounce smash from the Frenchman. Lob from Siegerman. Siegerman gets the volley as the lob from Kravchuk, but they're back into a rally. Forehand down the line from Kravchuk. Now she's on the backhand side and she overhits. Got themselves back into that rally and then made the mistake.
It's great tennis, and there is also that dynamic of when you have people who are as excellent at the net and as excellent as poaching, it ups the ante on your ground strokes. You can't afford to not go for a little extra risk when you're playing.
And you're always looking, partly looking at what the net player's doing, which can lead to mistakes. 30-15, Roger Vasselin serves into the net. Siegerman, playing normal regulation format, makes the signal, crouches down. Here comes the serve from Roger Vasselin. Backhand return cross court from Skupski. Then goes down the line. Siegerman is there on the volley and he goes back down the line and misses, and roar from Siegerman. And it's two set points.
Yeah, exceptionally good hands there from Siegerman, because it wasn't an easy volley the first one, but she was able to get that deep, a crisply struck volley, really good hands. And Skupski just pressed a little bit, rushed a little bit, and now finds himself
with a couple of set points for the Franco-German combination.
Number two seeds.
Roger Vasselin serving at 40-15. First serve right onto the service line. Good return from Krawczyk. Goes up the line as Sigerman moves early. Too early. And that's well done by Krawczyk. One set point saved. Well,
that's what's called sending a telegraph to your to your opponents. She was gone well before the actual timetable. Said that she should have been crossing. She opened the court wide open for Krawczyk. And for a player as outstanding in doubles as what the American is, that was a relatively easy passing shot.
Yeah. Made no mistake with it. Still set point. Big serve out to the backhand of Skupski, who can only direct it to Sigerman, who smacks it away at the net. And the number two seeds, Laura Sigermund and Edouard Roger Vasselin, take the opening set 6-4 here on court Philippe Chatrier in the final of the mixed doubles. As we have a quick change in the on the court with all the line judges coming on. Just shuffled things around a little bit. Court being swept. And I think, Courtney, you were talking about all the other matches that are happening at the moment. Maybe perhaps we can have a quick update.
Yeah, plenty of tennis on the outside courts as well. We have some legends being played out on court Suzanne Longlin, the other great stadium court here, or one of the great stadium courts here. And we saw Parmentier and Tourzier playing earlier,
yeah,
a couple of the French favourites. But right now we have John McEnroe and Joe Wilfried Tsonga up against Gilles Simon and Mats Wilander.
That's a good combination.
Absolutely. Some great tennis out there. So that's one love to McEnroe and Tsonga in the legends. In the men's doubles semi-final, very evenly poised so far. The Australian Open champions, Bapana and Ebden. Ebden now number one in the world as a result of making his way to the semi-finals here. Versus the Italian combination of Bellelli and Vavasori. 5-5 in the first set at deuce. In the junior girls singles, Laura Sampson, who's a very talented young player from the from Czechia, from the Czech Republic. I spoke to...
Radio Roland-Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you every afternoon from 2 p.m. local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Live on radio.
Roland Garros.
Roland Garros.
Her a couple of days ago for a piece, a junior story, and she is leading America. She dropped the first set against the USA's Iva Jovic, number 10 seed, in a tiebreaker, but leading 4-2 in the second set. We have some wheelchair tennis, Atani, Japan versus Yu. It's in the third set. In the girls' singles, we have the world number one, the Australian Open champion, Renata Jamrakova, up against another player from the Czech Republic, Tereza Valentova. They're warming up. On court 9, plenty of tennis very early on. Court 10, another young player I spoke to this week, Tyra Caterina Grant from the USA, but she was born and raised in Italy, the son of a former college basketballer, now spending her time in at the Elite Tennis Centre in France, where she was practising with Vara Grisheva, who had the great run to the second week. She's in a third set and up 4-love in her quarterfinal against Shalene Van Drom. As the play resumes on court, Philippe Chatrier, we'll get to just reel through these scores. Rei Sakamoto, the Japanese number one in the world, first junior boy from Japan to be number one in the world, is the Australian Open boys singles champion. He's playing against Lorenzo Carboni and 2-2 in the first set, a talented Italian junior. And then the singles, a quad singles, Sam Schroeder, the number two seed from the Netherlands, who's just had an outstanding career, leading Donald Ramfardi on the serve early on. And Alfie Hewitt, the number one wheelchair player from Great Britain, a fantastic career he's had as well. Dropped the first set against Gustavo Fernandez from Argentina, and it's in a tiebreaker in the second as Alfie tries to see that through. And we have a have a note from Carol Block, an email. Thanks for writing in to French Open Radio at fft.fr. And she says, hi all. Here I am in sunny Hastings watching Skupski and his partner on Eurosport, listening to your great commentary and also cheering on Alfie Hewitt and the men's wheelchair singles. Talk about multitasking. And she's doing this while drinking a cup of coffee. Keep up the good work. Well, Carol, you need to be cheering just a little bit harder because Skupski and Kravchuk dropped the first set and Alfie needs your support to keep his match alive. He leads 2-love in that tiebreaker in the second set, needing to win the tiebreaker to level his match.
Right. So you're all up to date with what is happening all around the grounds. Skupski serving in this first game of the second set. Remember, Siegerman and Roger Vasselin took the first 6-4. It's 30-15. Skupski, Kravchuk. Good kick serve. Good return from Siegerman, though. And another yell from the German as the forehand flies wide from Skupski. Skupski not quite at his sharpest today, it seems. Missing quite a few makeable balls, or balls you'd normally expect him to make. But there's a lot of pressure. It's a final, of course. So Siegerman is moving really well at the net. Making him perhaps take his eye off the ball sometimes. This. It's 30-all. Another hand signal from Kravchuk. Eventually, Skupski says, let's go eye formation. And then she changes. I think she's pointing to where she's going to go. Serve into the net, so she didn't even move at the end. She didn't have to. She was going to move to her left. A double fault, first double fault from either pair, and it could be costly because it's given Siegerman and Roger Vasselin effectively two break points with the sudden death juice. Crowd getting behind their man, Roger Vasselin, and his partner Laura Siegerman. Skupski to serve to Siegerman. 30-40. This is again down the tee, low in the net. Chat between them about the signals. Here, Skupski going, yep. Oh, yep. It's happy now, ready to go. Second serve to the body of Siegerman, who does really well on the to get the ball back, and the, finally the volley from Siegerman off a sharp volley from Kravchuk just goes long, and it needed Desiree Kravchuk to be sharp at the net there to save that break point.
It did. Clearly, it was a fascinating insight. If you heard that on the court microphone, the yep, no, no, and Kravchuk in the end had the decisive call in terms of what would be used in terms of the tactic played. Now, whether it worked effectively, she got the volley, so I suspect it was a clever decision from her, and that set the tone for the point.
So, juice, sudden death juice, this point will win the game. They've decided that Roger Vasselin will return, so it's on the juice side. Serve down the tee, left by Kravchuk. Good decision. It flew past her shoulder, but it's long, and they do get out of jail there on that service game and hold to start this second set.
She did shape to play that, and it was a rapid withdrawal and very, very clever withdrawal. So a really good escape there from Skupski and Kravchuk after dropping the opening service game of the match. They've managed to sneak through there. That's an encouraging start to this set as they hope to extend it through.
Sorry,
to a
sorry to interrupt. For those who don't know, for the listeners who don't know how the signals work, can you talk us through what the net player is doing, who decides who's going to serve, and what's happening when they're doing that?
Well, in terms of actually reading their specific combinations, it's hard to do because you don't know exactly what the team...
They may have their own unique ones,
but quite often you'll see team signalling one with their finger behind the back, so only the baseline, only the player serving can see it.
The net player is making the signals. So the net player is choosing where to serve?
Making the call, basically. They're directing their partner where to go. So it's a little different, I think, at club level. You would often talk about it, and it's generally the player serving who will make the call as to where they feel more comfortable or where they think they can. But in doubles, so you know, they can all hit the angles. They can all do the...
They can hit every shot. They just need to tell each other where they're going to give themselves an advantage against the returning pair as Roger Vasselin goes to the four, tries to go cross-court, but a nice interception by Kravchuk, who shows nice hands at the net to drop the ball over.
And so it might be very simple. Let's make it simple. It could be one finger means that I'm going to slice that ball out wide or slice it down the middle if you're serving to the advantage court. Two fingers means body.
Yeah.
Go at the body. Three fingers.
T.
Or wide on the backhand court. So it can be, depends where you're serving, but that's a very simple way to do it. That would be a simple tactic.
Good return from Kravchuk at 15 all. Skupski tries to intercept, can't get there, and the backhand goes wide.
And then, of course, you can signal as to whether you're going to stay, whether you're going to cross. If they're playing I formation, I will move to the right, I'll move to the left. Like, there are quite a lot, and you don't want to necessarily... Well, you certainly don't want to betray. And at the moment, we see Sigurmund and Roger Vesalin just discussing what they're doing, but they've got their hands covering their mouth. So it's lots of disguise, because a single advantage can be a problem.
Skupski changes it up with a little chip return over the head of Sigurmund, and now Kravchuk goes backhand to the forehand of Roger Vesalin. Backhand on the angle from Kravchuk, an absolute beauty. No way of Roger Vesalin getting across to it. It's 30 all. Yeah, I suppose the thing to get across to listeners is that the net player, when her partner is serving, is deciding where to serve and also where she's going to move. Sometimes the server, you'll hear him say no, because he doesn't want to do that serve, and then she'll make another choice and he'll say yes. And so it's interesting that the net player makes the decisions or makes the choice, and then they agree it between them. Ace from Roger Vesalin, straight down the tee past Kravchuk.
Interesting dynamic on that occasion is that it was Sigurmund who yelled out in delight, big come on, or yes. She didn't actually touch the ball. It was just an ace down the middle from her partner.
Exactly.
It was very businesslike.
Well, the decision was good. Serve to Skupski's backhand. This time it's a better return from the Briton as he goes, runs around his backhand, hit the inside out forehand, and then the backhand flies long from Roger Vesalin, and it's another, well, it's juice. It's a sudden death juice, which means another break point for the Kravchuk-Skupski combination. And this time, who's going to return? It is Skupski again. Or is it? Having a Kravchuk just waiting next to her partner, and then, yeah, it'll be Skupski to return on the ad court. Just having a quick discussion behind their hand so that no one can hear. Helps when you speak a completely different language to the others. Then they really don't understand. Roger Vesalin serves to the backhand of Skupski, chips it down the line, but gets his angle wrong, and it just irritated and turns to his team in anguish, because he had plenty of time on that serve just to play it down the line. Missed it, and Sigurmund and Roger Vesalin hold on.
Fine margins, but at the moment the margins are not favouring Skupski. It's been a really tight match. Not much in it. We talk about tactics, and we both play quite a lot of tennis, and I did have a chuckle earlier this year. I was playing one of my favourite events. We were playing against a very good combination, a guy who'd had a world ranking and a guy in the top 100 in the country, and my partner at the time is telling me, I said, what do you think? Just ace him.
Exactly.
Yeah, well...
Just sort it out. Just get rid of this
ace.
Point.
Just ace him. I could serve an ace every point, of course, that's what you do.
Yeah, it's good clarity of thinking. None of this body stuff. Just ace him. Second serve from Kravchuk's pretty short. Sits up for Roger Vesalin to attack, and the depth of the return means that Sigurmund has an easy job to get across at the net, pick off the volley. It's a message from Richard in a very chilly Brisbane. How do you think Alex de Minaur will fare at Wimbledon, especially given his great run at the French? Thanks all for the wonderful company you provide, and I hope you enjoy your special dinner tonight. Watch out for the mouldy bread. Yes, we will be watching out for that. Marcus has got some treacherous plans up his sleeve, which thankfully we worked out. We'll discuss that in a minute, the change of ends. It's interesting. I think both Courtney and I wrote about Alex de Minaur last night. A chat about his what he's taken from this great run at Roland Garros. Kravchuk serving at love 15. Aggressive return from Sigurmund, who comes forward. Lob volley from Skupski is just long. Sigurmund just goes and marks the ball anyway, even though it was clearly out. They'd already gone back to their marks.
I'm a little concerned talking about the dinner tonight and the mouldy bread, because we've had a voicemail from Antoine on our chat group. We haven't been able to listen because we're on air, but I'm just wondering if he's somewhat concerned about what's to unfold after the dreaded
half-eaten sandwich
detail from the threat, basically, from Marcus, is what we've heard.
Well, I mean, Antoine's not coming tonight, so I don't know what he's worried about. He's got a date. As Roger Vasselin attacks the forehand, and it's love 40 on the Kravchuk serve. I mean, we say he's got a date. That's what we're guessing. He just won't tell us where he is. Fair enough. Can't make it. No details.
Well, would you, after being the attempt on his life midway through last week?
Yeah, you choose your friends carefully. Right. Big opportunity for Sigerman and Roger Vasselin at love 40 on the Kravchuk serve. Eye formation from the American-British combination. Serve is straight down the middle. The lob hoisted by Sigerman's pretty good. The backhand high lob from Kravchuk's dropping way short. Should be put away by the smash of Roger Vasselin. He lets it bounce. He does put it away. And the number two seeds, having taken the first set 6-4, they have a breaker serve in the second. They lead 2-1.
A really, really strong game on return there from the number two seeds. Just the poise and composure they showed on return to help them get into the point, and then the decisiveness at the net. Very, very strong play. It's a service break in the second. They haven't dropped serve yet, but we should point out that the combination of Skupski and Kravchuk have been very close. They've had their opportunities, and at some stage, if those opportunities keep coming, one will fall their way. So this is still a wide-open final at Roland Garros.
Yeah, and then mixed doubles, you get plenty of breaks, so it's not over for them yet. Carol's got back in touch, saying, looks like my cheering worked, as Alfie Hewitt has managed to win the second set. Yeah, he's won it 7-1 on the tiebreak. I'll have to keep cheering him on, though. I'm watching the point-by-point score on the Roland Garros app, so I know exactly what's happening. We'll keep you up to date as well, Carol. Thank you for getting in touch. So Dubinor, Courtney, got to the quarterfinals at Roland Garros for the first time. Had played a really good match last night against Alexander Zverev, even though he lost in three sets. It was very close. Could so easily have won the second set. What do you think he takes from here into his favourite surface, or one of his favourite surfaces?
Well, I think the confidence of knowing that he's best against virtually everyone is one factor. The competitiveness of clay court points and the toughness that you need in terms of being able to prevail. I think his mental strength was really, really strong through the tournament. Coming up against Jan Leonard Struff, who was in great form in the third round. Similarly against Daniil Medvedev in the fourth round, and being able to win through those opportunities. Didn't quite work for him last night against Zverev, but it was the finest of margins as Kravchuk-Skupski win the first. It was a volley off the tape, I think, in that point, and a shake of the head from Roger Vasselin. So I think there's that. There's also the knowledge that, you talked about the miles and the legs.
Yeah.
And the importance of that.
Well, it's something that players have talked about over the years. It's not so, I mean, basically you've built up such confidence and strength by playing on clay, where the points are long, you really have to build the points well, you've got to structure your game well, that by the time you get on grass, it gives you that great sort of basis to go and perform well. Ooh, good hands again from Sigerman, but she was rushed by the volley of and the movement of Skupski, and it's love 30. Yeah, I think if you do well on clay, it generally puts you in good stead to do well on grass, because you've played a lot, you've hit a lot of balls, and you've just built an incredible base to set for the rest of the year. And we've seen that in history quite a lot. With a lot of players doing well here and then going on to do well at Wimbledon, people who weren't expected to do well here.
It's an interesting dynamic with him as well. He, as Sigerman serves at love 30, trying to consolidate the break in the last game under a bit of pressure.
Well, a bit of an opportunity for Kravchuk as she loses her little vibration dampener, but finds it, so she'll get a first serve even if that serve was out. I think it's fair that it should be a let. Mm. Kravchuk's saying, well, the serve is out. but she had to go and walk the other side of where Skupski's standing to pick it up. So it was a big break in the rhythm. And when that sort of thing happens, it's generally given as a first serve. So Sigerman will have a first serve at love 30. Onto the line, and the return is out from Kravchuk, which will make her feel even more annoyed.
I think it's a fair decision, though.
Yeah. Be a bit harsh to, you know, make her wait all that time while you go and pick it up, come back.
It annoyed me last night in a tiebreaker, I've got to say, when Dimonov got to fall love and he was had the momentum right behind him, and as he was about to serve, throw the ball up, there was a big yell of support for Zarev, and then there was another couple of yells and momentum went.
Yep. And you don't get a first or second serve then. Serve from Sigmund Skupski gets the return all wrong. I'm not sure what he was trying to do there. He just totally decelerated. Sigmund's serve was, again, the ball tossed too far to the right. She just came right the way around it. But Skupski just basically lost his train of thought, what he was trying to do, ended up dumping it in the net.
I think, again, the heavily sliced serve. So it was coming in, really shaping into his body, but slow.
Not fast.
And so he had too much time to think, I believe.
Yeah, he lost his rhythm. So from love 30 back to 30 all. Sigmund serves. Goes out wide. Chip return from Kravchuk and smashed away easily by Roger Vasselin. Net players are so quick to get back for the smashes. It's the one sort of really obvious difference between the top pros and, or any of the pros actually, and top, top club regional players in whatever country you're in. Just, they barely let the ball down bounce when the ball's up in the air. So fast. Game point, Sigmund and Roger Vasselin. Another slice serve to the backhand of Skupski, who's getting himself a bit confused with all this because he rolls it cross-court. Roger Vasselin picks it off, and it's 3-1.
Again, finding their way out of trouble, Sigmund and Roger Vasselin. They've done that exceptionally well on their serves when they've been under pressure, and that's been the difference so far. Really encouraging play. Just on Dimonov before we move on. It's interesting. He says grass is his favourite surface and that he plays his best tennis. Of the ATP titles he's won, 7 have come on hard courts. But you look at he has had success at Eastbourne.
Yep.
He was a boys' finalist quite a few years ago as Kravchuk crosses on the first point and punches that volley at Sigmund's feet, not able to return it. He did make the boys' final when beaten by Denis Shapovalov in 2016. And probably the one that got away from him was against Christian Garin a couple of years ago when fourth round he got beaten in the super tiebreaker. He's played him 5 times, won 4, and lost the deciding super tiebreaker.
He's up 2 sets in that match.
And up 2 sets. It got away from him, that one.
Yeah, that was a tough loss for Dimonov, but he's, you know, improving all the time. He's playing better and better. I think people are realising that. He's number 9 in the live rankings, which equals his career best. So lots to look forward to for Dimonov. Chip return from Sigmund off a good serve from Skupski, who is really not quite on his game as he nets a very simple forehand, really just looking to come forward.
Yeah, not enough margin on that forehand. It was a chip return, so it certainly stayed a little bit lower, but I think, again, it seems when he's got the time to think and to make choices, that's where the errors are coming from.
So quiz question from Anton in a moment. 15 all, Skupski serving. Misses out wide. He says, "Hi guys, I need more help to extend this list of players related to Grand Slam events. Not the simpler, obvious answer. Maybe listeners can help too, please." Bring you the actual question in a moment. Skupski serve, second serve. Good one to the backhand of Roger Vasselin. Hits good returns. Sigerman dives across the court to try and get it. She's now out of position. And the forehand down the line from Skupski is good. What do the following players have in common? John McEnroe, Mary Carrillo, Ivan Molina, Martina Navratilova, Mark Woodford, Jürgen Meltzer, Iveta Benisova, Bob Bryan, and who else, please? It's an interesting question. Let's see if any of the listeners out there can get the answer. I've got a feeling I know what it is. Great serve from Skupski. Takes it to 40-15. Remember, they're trailing 3-1 in the second set. Having lost the first 6-4 to Sigerman and Roger Vasselin.
I'm glad you've got an idea because clearly you had a stronger coffee than what I did this morning.
I need another coffee. That's what I was just thinking. I'll have to have one after this. Good chip lob return from Roger Vasselin off the serve of Skupski. Then a forehand topspin lob goes long from Roger Vasselin, but they still lead by a break. 3-2 they lead in the second set by a set to love. for me, what might give that away is Mary Carrillo being mentioned. But we'll see what, if any of the listeners have any ideas, let us know. It's Twitter at @radio_RG. And, of course, on the email, frenchopenradio@fft.fr. Also, let us know what you're looking forward to with the women's semis today. Coco Gauff against Iga Świątek. Jasmine Paolini against Mira Andreeva. Andreeva yesterday pulled out of the doubles. She was due to play her quarterfinal with Vera Zvonareva after her singles, but she wouldn't have started till about 8:30, 9 o'clock, and she made what's probably a very wise decision not to play, and because she had to come back today to play her singles. Tough on Zvonareva, who's having a lot of success in doubles these days, having come back to the tour a few years ago, but definitely a wise decision from Andreeva to save her legs and give herself enough recovery and also the mental side of preparing for a semi-final.
And look, really a wise decision. Just speaking of Jürgen Meltzer, I saw him yesterday down underneath the court, Susan Longlin, in the mix zone with the juniors, because he's coaching the exceptionally talented young Austrian junior Joel Schwarzler, who was a winner today in his quarterfinal. He's the second seed in the boys' singles, 6-2, 7-6. He won a challenger, ATP Tour challenger, in the lead into this boys' singles, which you think is strong. That's form good, for that. And look, he was talking to a couple of Austrian journalists at the time, but said, basically talking about the plans for the future and where he thinks he can go. And he said, look, there's still a lot of work to go. They were asking whether he would go to Australian Open and potentially try to qualify for the men's singles. He has about, I think he's ranked about 380 in the men's, and he thought at this stage, unless there was a rapid change, that might be too far off, but building slowly. He said, of course, with Dominic Thiem, there's a beautifully ripped forehand there from Roger Vassalon down the line, just too good for Skupski at the net. With Dominic Thiem announcing his retirement, pending retirement, and Meltzer having been such a good player as well, a newcomer to the scene perhaps for Austria.
Yeah, that would be a good thing. 15 love on the Roger Vassalon serve, serving to Skupski. Got a guess at the quiz question in a minute. We will get to. Keep your guesses coming in. It's an interesting question. Backhand cross court from Roger Vassalon again. Sigerman moves too early. And Skupski slams it straight down the line. Yeah, mate, is the answer as simple as the answer that's come in? I'm not sure. 15 all. Maybe it is. I was thinking something completely different. But John has come up with an answer. Just going to have a look back at the question myself. Come back to that. 15 all. Big serve down the tee from Roger Vassalon, coming forward on the drive volley. Krawczyk gets there at full stretch on the two-hander. Great smash inside out from Sigerman.
I mean, it could well be as simple as that question. Sorry, as a response, there's a couple that have come in. Richard has also written in. And
30-15. Find the actual question. It's disappeared. Skupski can't return the Roger Vassalon serve, and it's 40-15.
I can help as.
I can see it. Yes. Yes, I think it probably is as simple as that. But, well, no, Anton can let us know in a moment. And he actually says that the Meltzer-Benasova Wimbledon is the best clue. 40-15, Roger Vassalon serving. And bright sunshine, good kick serve. Volley from Sigerman was low down. It was awkward, nice angle on the backhand from Krawczyk, but a much better angle just on the forehand side, just opened the face of the racket. Played it right across Krawczyk to Roger Vassalon, and they hold for 4-2.
Just such delicate touch there from the Frenchman. The 40-year-old looking sprightly out there on the court. The oldest player in this combination. As we touched on before, it's 140 years of age between them. A 40-year-old, a 30-year-old, a 36-year-old, and a 34-year-old. So 35, the average age. They're playing magnificent tennis here. they'd be old enough to qualify for veterans tennis or masters tennis.
Yes,
almost, deadly yeah. combination, some of these players.
So there are quite a lot of guesses coming in, and I think they're saying that all these players are left-handed, but the question is, who is the other one? So Bob Bryan and who? Who did he win a mixed doubles title with? Because McEnroe and Carrillo won here. As Sigerman wins the first point on the Kravchuk serve, love 15. McEnroe and Carrillo, that was their first, McEnroe's first Grand Slam title in 1977. So you need to find a left-handed player that Bob Bryan won doubles with. I'm pretty sure, yeah, I think I know who that is. Right, we'll come back to that because this is getting tasty now and dangerous for Skupski and Kravchuk. They really need to hold serve here to at least keep some pressure on these two, Sigerman and Rajavasalan. Rajavasalan standing way back as Sigerman returns. Now they both move forward off the lob return. High, high lob from Kravchuk. Rajavasalan right back to the baseline to bounce smash it. Backhand down the line from Kravchuk's good. Now she can lean into a backhand as Skupski moves forward, trying to pick off the volley. But the cross-court forehand from Kravchuk, she thought Sigerman might be poaching, went cross-court. Sigerman had stood her ground, put the volley away.
And Skupski finesse, very quick to get out of the way of that one with good reason. It was aimed at a tricky height. And well hit as Sigerman puts her hands up in apology. Great cross, great backhand volley.
It's love 30. Kravchuk serving at 2-4. Lost the first set, 6-4. Tough, tough situation. Rajavasalan waits. Backhand return is straight to Skupski. He was diving across, actually. Did well to put the volley away. Rajavasalan and Sigerman varying their return formation. Sometimes staying a little bit, the non-receiver staying a little bit back, but not completely. And then looking to move forward, immediately they get the chance. 15-30, another big point for Kravchuk and Skupski on the Kravchuk serve. Left-hander serves down to the backhand of Sigerman, who comes forward off her backhand return, puts the backhand volley just wide. The forehand volley just wide.
So critical here for Kravchuk and Skupski to win this game, having dropped the first set 6-4, down a service break at 2-4 in the second set, falling behind love 30 in this game. A couple of handy pieces of work on the last 2 points to get back to 30-all. It's still a big pressure point in this mixed doubles final at Roland Garros.
Absolutely. No sign of my watch starting to work. Big serve from Kravchuk just goes long, and Sigerman standing just behind the service line while Rajavasalan waits to return. Kravchuk and Skupski go through their routine. Second serve is onto the service line. It was slow, but it looked like it was going to go long. Now they're into a baseline rally, which Rajavasalan wins as Kravchuk nets the backhand, and it's break point to the number two seeds.
And effectively two break points, as we talked about, with the sudden death point. They're able to snare one of these two, it's a big, big, big step forward towards claiming the Roland Garros title. If they can claim one of these 2 points with a double break in a final in doubles, would be a tricky one to try and reel back in for the Skupski Kravchuk combination.
Morning coaching? Morning Kravchuk must have been for morning Kravchuk for time, I think. Little chip return from Sigerman as Kravchuk goes down the middle, and that's the vulnerable place. Sigerman had covered it but netted the forehand.
No, for a second it did sound like warning coaching for mine, and I was thinking that's intriguing, but no, I think just at the time the discussion again, Skupski and Kravchuk having a chat here,
so saved break point, still got another one because it's sudden death juice.
It's down to 9 seconds on the clock, 8 seconds as they now wait their way. So it's going to have to be a quick combination here.
She figures she's not going
to
get another
one. 2 seconds to go. Ooh, right on the cusp.
Good serve. Chipped return over the head of Skupski. Then Kravchuk goes over the head of Sigerman, and it works because Roger Vasselin was trying to force a backhand down the line and it goes long.
I think he was very worried about the prospect of Skupski crossing there.
Yeah, but it's a big hold from Love 30 and then saving two break points. They're still in this, Kravchuk and Skupski, but it's 7-4-3 to Sigerman and Roger Vasselin.
Now, later on, once this mixed doubles final is complete, Simon, I urge if you're on the grounds, well worth getting out to court 10. There is a boys' singles quarterfinal in process, progress. And I've spoken to both the young gentlemen this week. Kaelin Biggin, yep, a very talented player from California who trains in Florida and also trains back in California, plays against some of the practices with Mackenzie McDonald, Marcos Giron,
yep,
depending on which state he's in. Off to UCLA next summer on a scholarship and a really talented young left-hander. And Henry Bernay, a young boy from Switzerland who hails from TC Old Boys. Grew up in Basel.
Sounds familiar.
One-handed backhand and a beautiful one-handed backhand. All-court game, fantastic at the net. Happened to have be captained by a man by the name of Marco Cudinelli, who was the best friends of a similar player from that club. Similar style player from that club, a guy by the name of Roger Federer.
Whatever happened to him?
I'm not sure. I believe he hit a handy one-handed backhand. But no, it's interesting. Bernay is from the same club as Federer.
Yeah.
He has some of the Swiss journalists excited, including someone you wrote a book with on person.
Simon Graf, my fellow writer. We joined forces to write the Roger Federer effect, if anyone didn't hear last year when I mentioned it 1,000 times. It's only been 2 or 3 this time. I've been good. But that was very fun to write. Ooh, lovely hands from Roger Vasselin at the net for the first point of the Sigerman serve at 4-3. We had a great time writing that book, and it was really fun to do. But Federer and Cudinelli, best friends, played computer games all night for years. They played FIFA, they played all sorts, hung out together. It was a big part of Federer's upbringing and playing at the same club together. It'd be very interesting to see Henri Bernay as he progresses in his career. So Sigerman serving down the tee to the forehand of Skupski, who misses again. He's missed way too many of these shots today. It's just not been quite his day for usually so sharp. But it's been smart play from Sigerman and Roger Vasselin to keep him off balance. They mixed it up. I think that the Sigerman serve should be vulnerable, but they're not having much luck on it. It's 30 love. Kravchuk waits, crouching on the baseline to return on the backhand side. Great return down the line this time. And this time, Skupski is there to put the volley away. That's what happens when you get a good return. And it's 30-15.
Gabrielle Gordon has written in, "Dear Radio Roland Garros, thanks for a wonderful fortnight as usual. Been listening for many years and every year it is wonderful. Many thanks for calling doubles and hope you have lots of Tim Tams next year from sunny and warm Fort Worth, Texas." Well, I made an unforced error by failing to remember to bring Tim Tams or barbecue
shocking
shapes.
Shocking behaviour.
And so I'm...
Nice from Roger Vasselin again. He picks off the first return from Skupski. And even though Kravchuk did well to get the ball back, he just turns his racket, plays it on the angle, and it's 40-15.
Excellent use of the angles as well. Great cross. Superb net play. Yes, I'm going to need to be really on my best behaviour tonight. I'm going to need to butter up the Empress, Marcus, and hopefully receive an invitation back next year to join the team because it was a poor mistake from my on my behalf.
Skupski's doing really well to fend off one volley and then fends another one down the line, and that could be a big point. Looked like Roger Vasselin and Sigerman were going to put the ball away, but great hands, great reactions from Skupski, and it's 40-30.
And the anguish that we saw from Roger Vasselin as he walked back. Yes, they're in front here, 6-4, up a service break, but there's been such fine margins, and every single point matters in this format, and it does keep Skupski and Kravchuk alive in this game. And you can hear the crowd right behind the combination, largely, I think, in favour of Roger Vasselin, given he's a favourite here in Paris.
Now, Sigerman gets a code violation because her time runs out. She just takes a breather, takes a bit more time, gets herself ready. It's 40-30, game point for a 5-3 lead. Slice serve to the forehand, down the line from Skupski, and this time he makes it. And that's a good time to find your best return. And it's back to juice, and it's break point. Sudden death juice.
Fascinating juncture in this Roland Garros mixed doubles final on a beautiful Thursday afternoon in Paris, building towards the women's singles semi-finals. It is Krawczyk to take the return on this occasion.
Interesting change. Skupski's been returning on the break points, but haven't taken any, so they've changed it. And the return on the backhand is good from Krawczyk. Roger Vasselin reaches the volley, but it's not good enough. And Skupski slams the volley away, and that change-up on return does the job. Back on serve, 4-all in the second set.
Skupski, you may not have been sharp necessarily off the ground at occasions throughout this mixed doubles final, but on two occasions in that game, exceptional reflexes at the net, dragged them out of a hole. Beautiful play from the net from him, and here we are. 4-all in the second set. This mixed doubles final is well and truly alive.
I mean, I was just checking the stats as that point was going on. They were 0 from 8, Skupski and Krawczyk on break points. Now they're 1 from 9 and they're back on serve as Skupski adjusts his feet just in time to get to a forehand from Roger Vasselin, who pulls the forehand wide thanks to the movement, really, of Krawczyk at the net, who was shaping to pick it off, and Roger Vasselin thought he had to pull it a little bit further and mishit it wide.
And in these situations, with the momentum behind you, you can often ride it. It's at the peak of this second set, 4-all. The number 4 seeds now with some momentum behind them.
Ooh, nice return from Sigerman. Just slice forehand return, chopped it. But because Krawczyk was crossing, no time for Skupski to get there. And it's 15-all.
She's been really clever, the German, with her chips and also her... she's not driving the ball necessarily on return. She's opting to try and shape the ball, try and put it in positions where they can actually get into the rallies. The other players have all been effectively driving the ball on return, but she's the change-up. She opts for touch and for feel.
Long chat from Skupski and Krawczyk. Skupski ready to go. Big serve down the middle. Good return from Roger Vasselin. Forehand up the line. Ripper from Skupski. Finally, suddenly, maybe just in time, is finding his range.
And again, the margins.
Right on the line, isn't it?
That one clipped the line. Absolutely. A lightning bolt forehand there from the Englishman.
30-15. Serving at 4-all. Looking to go wide. Round the back of Krawczyk again. Krawczyk telling Skupski where to serve, what she's going to do. They haven't decided. She keeps saying she wants to go one way, and he's like, no. Here we go. Second serve. Down the tee with the serve. Cross from Krawczyk, but got back brilliantly by the good hands of Roger Vasselin and the netted forehand from Skupski, and it's 30-all.
And again, the chip return. Look, it wasn't a great chip return in that it went to straight to Krawczyk at the net, but it was good enough. It made her play. They were moving forward, and that brought them in. Great reflexes from Roger Vasselin.
Yeah, really good movement from Sigerman as well. Although she played that chip, she was moving forward so quickly that made it awkward for Skupski and for Krawczyk, who couldn't put the volley away. Now it's 30-all. Roger Vasselin waiting, spins the racket. First serve, let.
As Vishal writes in to say, good evening, radio team. Looking forward to Swiatek and Coco Gauff, which will come a little later this afternoon.
Yep. 3 o'clock start, local time. It's the first of the semis. Paolini and Andreeva to follow. 4-all, 30-all, Skupski serving. Goes wide to the forehand of Roger Vasselin. Krawczyk hits twice at Sigerman, who's equal to it. They're back into a cross-court rally between Roger Vasselin and Skupski, who runs round a lob and then makes a mess of a forehand, pulls it wide and sort of slams his thigh with his racket in disgust. And it's break point to the number 2 seeds.
She has been the star of the show so far for mine, Sigurmon. On that occasion, her reflexes, the ball was being cannoned at her, and she was able to make the reflexes, make the volleys, keep the point flowing, and then made the good move that put the pressure on Skufsky. She was crossing, and he tried to get it away from her. Great play from the German.
Now it's Sigurmon to return the serve of Skupski at break point. She's not going to return that. It's an ace out wide. That's what he was looking for on the previous point, that side. He finds the mark this time. It's deuce. It's still break point, sudden death deuce. Skupski will serve to Roger Vasselin on the deuce court. Quick chat with his partner, Desiree Kravchek. Long chat, in fact. At the baseline, Kravchek's ready to move forward. Sigurmon also standing quite far back near the baseline as Roger Vasselin returns. It's a good serve. Kravchek moves backwards instead of forwards and makes a mess of the backhand. She hangs her head, and that is a crucial, crucial break of serve for Sigurmon and Roger Vasselin. They lead 5-4 and will serve for the match.
Just hands straight up to her face there. It fell awkwardly. It was a tricky one because it just wasn't quite... If she'd gone forward, the volley was there, but it just floated a little trickily, took the step backwards and then panicked a little bit. Tried to drive the ball straight at her counterpart, Sigurmon, but overhit it. And perhaps not surprising given how good Sigurmon's been at the net. Another inferred pressure, I suspect, a result of inferred pressure given the reflexes of the German. And that's a critical break with Roger Vasselin now coming out to serve for the Roland Garros mixed doubles title.
And it's just that split-second decision when you're at the net to move forward or wait. And if you get it wrong, you're just made to look a fool. And she did panic a little bit the second one because she was worried about what Sigurmon might do if she hit it straight to her. Hit it too hard, hit it long and wide. And now, well, a chance for the Frenchman to put a French win on the board. Franco-German win. Should he and Laura Sigurmon finish this off here? 40 years old, Edouard Roger Vasselin. Chance to win it, Roland Garros title for the first time. Having won here in doubles with Julien Beneteau in 2014. And Laura Sigurmon looking for her third slam title. Her second in mixed. Starts with a big serve down the tee from Roger Vasselin. Kravchek can only pop it up in the air and Sigurmon puts it away.
And Roger Vasselin's father, of course, Christoph, was a very, very, very good player, having having a win over Jimmy Connors when Jimmy Connors was the number one in the world at Roland Garros, and he fell to the fellow Frenchman and the eventual champion, Yannick Noah, in the 1983 Garros semi-final.
That is right. Good serve again from Roger Vasselin, and a drive volley off a lob return from Skupski is at the feet of Kravchek, and they're 2 points away now. And this is fine serving. When you're under pressure, when you're trying to serve out matches in doubles especially, the importance of the first serve cannot be overstated. Just sets everything up. You've got your game plan. You know where the players are moving. Find that first serve and get on with it. Here we go, 30 love. Another one hits the tee. Good return this time from Kravchek. Gets herself back into the rally on the backhand side. And the forehand is netted from Roger Vasselin. Brilliant return from Kravchek.
Yeah, beautifully struck. Crisp, like a laser bolt, basically, that one. It rushed Roger Vasselin, who did peak at a ranking of 35 in singles in 2014. He's a very, very solid player. Qualified for Wimbledon on 5 occasions. And we're seeing why. This is an outstanding level, this mixed doubles final.
Still 2 points from victory. Roger Vasselin serving to Skupski. Serves to the forehand of the Briton, who whips a forehand down the line. Is it in?
Just clips the back of the baseline. Wow. You saw Roger Vasselin's head thrown back in despair as that one just touched the line. Powerfully struck from Skupski.
Wasn't totally clean, but it was very, very effective. 30 all from 30 love.
So the stakes rise in this final. What a thriller. And the crowd has been well entertained here on court. Philippe Chatrier.
Roger Vasselin catches the ball toss on the first one, then goes again. serves to the forehand of Kravchuk, who improvises and plays an off forehand return, apologises because she didn't mean it to be that good. It fell really short, no chance for the opponents to get it, and it gives Skupski and Kravchuk a break-back chance.
Two break-back chances.
Indeed.
Remarkable forehand return there. The deflection, just the most acute angle from the off forehand.
It was a good body serve, but an even better return. So work to be done. Roger Vasselin serves to Skupski. On the backhand side is a good serve. The backhand is in the net. Bounced before it hit the net from Skupski. And it is match point. Siegerman and Roger Vasselin. Sudden death deuce at 5-4. This is what the sudden death deuce format can do. Break point and match point.
Phenomenal. And you can hear the crowd getting right behind this. Skupski to take the return. Kravchuk standing about three-quarter court. Siegerman just crouching near the middle tee.
Roger Vasselin blows his wrist, serves to the backhand of Skupski, hits a good return. Volley from Kravchuk is away and they've broken. They've saved the match point. Brilliant return. The reply from Roger Vasselin was not brilliant, and then the volley from Kravchuk was cool as you like under pressure, and we're back at 5-5.
Phenomenal tennis. She may have made a meal of the opportunity on the previous game there, Kravchuk, but she was up to the occasion on that point. Beautifully punched forehand volley straight past Siegermund at the net. Having struggled to break for so long, they've now broken in consecutive service games to keep themselves in the fight for this title.
Quick update. Bopana and Ebden have levelled against Boleli and Vavasori in the semi-final of the men's doubles. It's a set all. They won the second 6-2. And lots of other stuff going along. Alfie Hewitt 4-2 down in the third against Gustavo Fernandez in the wheelchair semi-final singles. First point of the 11th game goes to Siegmund and Roger Vasselin on the Kravchuk serve. Long discussion between Kravchuk and Skupski. Kravchuk gets ready. Then lets the ball toss drop and starts again. Served into the net. Roger Vasselin drops back on the second serve as Siegerman gets ready to return it. Interesting move. Slow first serve from Kravchuk. Good return from Siegerman. In comes Roger Vasselin and nets the backhand volley. Interesting move to drop back on the second serve. Maybe just to give the server a different look.
It actually worked in terms of put them in a position. It was just the volley from Roger Vasselin that didn't quite work. And he threw his head back in despair again. They were so close in that last service game. A couple of shots that went against them.
Got to get that out of their system. Forget about that. There's work to be done. 15-15. Good serve from Kravchuk down the tee. Turn from the backhand side from Roger Vasselin. Lob from Kravchuk is short, and Siegerman again puts it away really superbly. No mistake. Plays it inside out, really. And it's 15-30.
1 hour, 35 minutes on the clock for this mixed doubles final. It's been a really tight, even affair.
It's got to be Kravchuk's serve. The first serve is good. The second serve's been sitting up. Not the fastest of second serves. And a chance maybe for Siegerman to force a few break points. Backhand return from Siegerman is mishit, but it lands in and Kravchuk has to go across to get it. Oh, brilliant backhand up the line from Siegerman. And that gives them 2-3 break points.
Just superbly struck. Skupski was at the net. He didn't move.
Yeah.
It was not like he was crossing, but just with the flattened out backhand, beautifully struck. Again, probably too short in the court there from Kravchuk. She was going for the angle. She was trying to take Siegmund out of court, but just didn't quite get enough on it and flattened through that backhand brilliantly. But it had to be exceptional because Skupski was camped at the net on that side.
15-40. Serve to the backhand of Roger Vasselin, who goes straight at Skupski. Skupski in the point, though. He gets the volleys back over. Oh, an amazing touch from Siegmund.
backhand volley carved across the net on the angle. Rat-a-tat exchange at the net between the pair. She finishes it off, and they will serve for this match for a second time.
She has been exceptional, the 36-year-old, in this doubles final, mixed doubles final. Just showing why she's been ranked as high as number four in women's doubles, currently the number six. She won the 2016 US Open with Pavic, playing another exceptional mixed doubles final in this occasion.
It's a bit of work to be done for Alfie Hewitt. You know, the number one seed in the wheelchairs is down 4-2 in the third to Gustavo Fernandez. He's just saved a break point, actually. Would have been 5-2. As it is, he's up against it. And Kaylin Biggin has taken the first set against Henri Bernet in the singles, 6-2 in the junior